Thank you for standing in for Rolene. Much appreciated. As one would expect at this time of the year, things are really heating up for Israel, in Israel. The Times of Israel basically has a new headline every 30 seconds almost. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's new really, because it feels almost like it's old. It feels almost like we are regenerating, just regurgitating almost some of the news that's going on, because, you know, election 2.0 tomorrow, and nobody is really expecting anything dramatically different out of this round than what we had in the previous round. So the question is whether there's going to be a slightly different reaction. I mean, in terms of the opinion polls, it's still putting Kahol Levan and Likud neck and neck with each other, which is exactly what happened the last time around. There might be a few seats less, a few seats more, 2-3 seats either way. A few parties have united together since the last round. The two Arab parties have joined together in the joint Arab list, and some parties, smaller parties on the right, have joined in with some of the larger ones, and some parties on the left, smaller ones, have joined in with the larger ones in the hope that, you know, the parties together will be able to generate more seats than they were able to do individually. And I think that that's particularly true, or possibly true, of those parties that were not able to gain enough votes to be above the minimum threshold of 3% that's required. And so those parties, for example, who might have got 2% of the vote, could now add that 2% to the larger party, which already had some votes and some seats, in the hope that they might be able to gain an extra seat, or maybe even an extra 2 seats if people find them to look a little bit more attractive than they did before. But ultimately, I don't think that the lie of the land in terms of the overall makeup of the Knesset is going to be substantially different from what transpired in the last round of the election. So the only thing that we can really hope for is that the politicians, when faced with the same reality or a similar reality again after tomorrow's elections, might choose to respond differently. And I think that the president, Ruvi Rivlin, has a key role to play here, because he might do something a little bit more creative in preventing a third round of election. And let's be honest about things. Prime Minister Netanyahu has threatened that if the same result comes out again and he's unable to form a government again, as he was unable to do the previous round, he is talking about a third round of election.
Oh, no.
And I think that that would be an absolute disaster for everybody, including himself. So, I'm really hopeful that that's not going to transpire, and that something creative, some solution that is a little bit more creative, will be found in order to ultimately construct a government, because continuing on this basis, I think, is just like not, you know, it's not okay for Israel. I think we're done with this situation, and we really need to have a stable government together. And I think that most Israelis are hoping that a national unity government can be formed, which means Kahol Levan and Likud joining together somehow and forming a stable, strong government that could potentially exclude the religious parties even, which is what Avigdor Lieberman has been
promoting very strongly. Well, the extremists on both ends, Anthony. You know, it's not just the religious. The extremists on both ends. This is what I don't understand, because I go along 100% with what you're saying, but for that to happen, Netanyahu would have to resign or abdicate almost.
Agreed. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. We can't find, there doesn't seem to be a solution that includes Netanyahu in the complexity of the situation. And so the way that national unity government is likely to be formed, if indeed that's what happens, is without Netanyahu. And so the question is, how does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad thing to me is that, you know, right, left, that Likud, Kahol Levan, central bloc basically agrees on most issues. That is the centrist bloc. There isn't that much pulling them apart. It would make so much sense for them to combine and leave the lunatic fringes on both sides and represent the bulk of Israelis. And why this is not happening, I just don't understand.
I think that there is an element of Kahol Levan which is very much Likud. In fact, there are people who are saying that Benny Gantz, who's one of the key leaders in the Kahol Levan coalition, is actually a Likudnik in all but name.
Yeah.
But of course, he couldn't find his way to be part of the Likud while Prime Minister Netanyahu was there. So instead, he formed up with Yair Lapid, who is less of a Likudnik. So one could argue that the Benny Gantz side of the party is quite Likud in its nature, while the Yair Lapid side of the party is probably a little bit more left-wing, but probably also not a million miles away from the Likud central position or Likud right-wing position. I mean, it's ironic in a sense that whenever Prime Minister Netanyahu stands up to criticize opposition members of opposing parties, he calls them leftists. And that name is also reserved for the Kahol Lavan party, which is all but left-wing in its nature. It really is very center-right in its nature, but gets labeled as a left-wing party anyway for its sins.
Yeah. Anthony, tell me how the news of the attack on the Saudi oil facility has been received in Israel.
Well, very quietly, I think it's a simple answer to that. And I think that that's largely because we are very focused on elections and less focused on what's going on in the Saudi oil facility. But let's be honest, this is a big event for Israel because this is not only about oil. I mean, we've seen the price of oil negatively affected as a result of this particular incident, and it's not a small incident. This is a major incident that's involving the Americans. It's obviously involving the Saudis very much and all of the members of the people who are supporters of the U.S.-Saudi coalition, if that's a good word to use in that part of the world. But more importantly, those people who are opposing Iran asserting its influence everywhere. And this, by all intents and purposes, does seem to be an attack that comes from Iran, apparently very audaciously executed using a drone. So it does show that Iran is prepared to go the extra bit in order to make itself felt. It is prepared to be quite combative in its nature and go out and attack facilities like this. It has been prepared to seize oil tankers sailing through the Straits of Hormuz. So Iran is becoming a lot more belligerent in its particular neck of the woods, but also perhaps more generally. And, you know, this certainly has a message for Israel. Israelis certainly need to be cautious about this. This might place Israeli institutions in danger, whether they be embassies and other Israeli-related institutions and Jewish institutions even around the world. And, of course, Israel, in terms of, you know, what might happen on Israeli soil, we know that Iran would very much like to retaliate against many incidents that have taken place against Iran, which have been blamed on Israel. So this is certainly an interesting incident, and we have not heard of the end of it by a long way yet.
An issue that I've been following Israeli news very closely in the past 48 hours, this mutual defense treaty proposed between America and Israel. Why is it so unbelievably quiet, not making any major headlines?
Well, again, I think a lot of it is to do with the election. And so obviously the election is dominating the news right now. But I did read a very, very interesting assessment of this proposed defense alliance and the fact that Israel may be well advised to stay away from it was the view that I was reading, because there was commentary that I read was saying that it could actually limit Israel's freedom to operate its own defense by virtue of being very, very closely associated and tied up with the United States, where all of a sudden Israel might be forced to answer to what the U.S. has to say about defense strategies, and that Israel might even be called upon by the U.S. in order to stand by its side of the bargain and go to protect U.S. interests elsewhere around the world. So when I was studying, you know, the response, it was interesting that the author of this response, who is a former head of military intelligence, Amos Yadlin, and he was saying that he thinks that it really is not good for Israel. And one of the other things that he mentioned was that, of course, Israel has preferred to be very ambiguous about its nuclear capabilities, and that an alliance with the United States might force Israel to be a little bit more forthcoming about what its true nuclear capabilities are. So there is some caution about this proposed defense alliance. And there are some people who are thinking that it's just like an election ploy just to get President Trump to somehow try and support Prime Minister Netanyahu in the days leading up to the election.
Anthony Reich, thank you so much for speaking to us. Your insights are valued and important. We're crossing late to news at after 5:30, but well worth it. Well worth it. Thank you, Anthony.
Take care.